Good to see everyone. Next week, Pastor Keith will be starting us out with Ephesians, as I understand it. Then we need to be continuing to keep them in prayer as they travel back today from Florida. And it's great, Mark, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here today. What a blessing to us that you're here today.
Praise God.
It really is. And thank you, Tony and Joyce, for your testimony last week. I don't know if it's an indication of something when there isn't a dry eye in the house, but you certainly spoke to our hearts. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If we could look at 1 Peter 3:15 for a second. I'm just looking for my glasses. Yeah, it is a good one. And what I wanted to show you is not so much verse 15, in your hearts honor Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And just as we've seen already, this whole book is got hope and holiness. There they are in one verse. Christ is holy and we have hope. And those two words and themes weave through the entire book. And in fact, the name of this series, which is probably a never-ending series, I don't know that this will ever be done with 1 Peter, but Elect Exiles, Living the Hope in a Hostile Country. So we have hope and holiness, but let's keep looking further. Do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. As Bridget went and prayed with this cashier at the Speedway, there was that gentleness there. And that's one thing I just want to point this out, that 99.99% of apologetics is really heart-to-heart. It's not, as we saw in the movie, those who've seen it, you know, necessarily standing in front of a group and poking your finger, and it was, sometimes that's necessary, and it was necessary in that context. But for us in our everyday lives, apologetics is heart to heart, and there's one thing that if those of you who don't know, I get to do a fair amount of apologetics as the campus apologist and faculty advisor for a Christian group at Wayne State, Rochelle Christie. But as I try to help the students understand, and as I talk to other apologists at other campuses, the apologetics, the words, the arguments, the claims, the questions, the answers, that's all background. This is a little secret. It's just between us. That's all background noise. Because what really matters is, why are people asking the questions? And what's troubling them? If they are non-believers and they're asking questions, don't break it. It's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't screw it up. That's what we want. We want that relationship. We want those questions. And that involves relationship building and heart-to-heart kinds of things. The other times that we sometimes have these discussions is with our brothers and sisters, what I sometimes refer to in a friendly way as wobbly Christians, who are having some doubts. And you know what? We're all wobbly Christians now and again. We all have to once in a while say the prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Amen.
But there again, it is important that we deal with the apologetics questions. That's real important. But what's even more important is that we encourage our brother and our sister in their walk, and that we walk with them, and that we show them that it's, you know, we want to pray with them, and it's okay that they have doubts and questions, because this is an opportunity for us to be the body of Christ for each other and to encourage each other. And so I just wanted to, Many of you have seen, many of you were there last night and got to see this movie, God's Not Great, and it does. It's like gets us cranked, and we want to get out there, and we want to shout, God's not dead, send texts and everything else, which is all fine. But when it really, when the rubber meets the road, it's gentleness and respect, verse 15, the last three words, gentleness and respect, that we want to bring to bear. And then this business of having a good conscience. That's what we're going to talk about today. Because today's lesson is about love. And one of the problems that we have in the church proper, not in this room, not in this congregation, not in this church, Cornerstone Church, so much, but certainly in the church proper, is what I call lame love. Lamed down Christianity.
Amen.
A feminized view of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And when we see the words gentleness and respect, the word gentleness seems to want to come out and bubble to the top. And Jesus is certainly tender and gentle and loving. He is a lamb, a sacrificial lamb. He is also a lion. And I like the quote that comes from G.K. Chesterton's book on orthodoxy. Can the lion lie down with the lamb and still retain his royal ferocity? And that tension is the tension that we need to sort of elevate especially when you're around other folks who aren't really getting the gloves off gospel like we get. If they may go to church, but they're not getting the gloves off gospel. They're getting a soft-soaked version of the gospel, a lamed-down version, and there's lame preaching about love. There are lame hymns and songs about love, some of which we love. I mean, the song In the Garden. You know, he walks with me and he talks with me. I like the song. It's a terrible theology. Horrible theology. So we have, and then even the sort of Christian radio, Christian music, so often there's cliches and catchphrases. And what we want to be alert to is what is authentic Christian love. And I want to tell you, I come by this honestly. I'm a little older than most people in this room, if not everybody. And I come from the hippie days, okay? The Summer of Love, It's true. Summer of Love, 1968, you know. San Francisco, wear a flower in your hair. I mean, that's my generation. And by the way, the American culture is still suffering from the damage that was done by my generation. But you know, lamed down love. And so I had to bring some of these in here. Love is all you need is love. The Beatles song, of course. Love is such a big word, it should have more letters. The love in your heart was put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away. Yeah! That's good. To belittle is to be little. Humankind, be both. You and I have been to church where we've heard sermons that are not a whole lot different than that. And that's what we want to think about today. That's what we want to talk about. What is real, authentic love? And I'll tell you, we don't always, as Christians, get it right. We're supposed to be known by our love. There is actually a website called SundaysAreTheWorst.com, and if you go to the blog version of the outline, you can click right through. But it's SundaysAreTheWorst.com/stories. It's a website dedicated to the stories by waiters and waitresses who serve Christians on Sunday. It will bring tears to your eyes. It is so embarrassing. And I'm not going to go into those stories. You can read them for yourself. But I'll just tell you that the rudeness, the lack of tipping. See, there was one story where the group got up and there was a tip. And then the pastor came by and grabbed it. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They're making these up.
No! Well, they may be. They might be making them up. I don't know. But if you talk to people in the entertainment business, in the accommodation business, in the hospitality business, you ask them. And they will tell you, when there's a convention of Christians, and I trust this won't be the case in Louisville this week,
right.
But when there's a convention, and by the way, I've had meals in restaurants with folks in this room and with men from this church. And, you know, the only problem that the men from this church have when they have a couple of eggs and a piece of bacon and some, you know, $3 breakfast is whether to leave $1 or $2 tip. And that blesses me when I see that. But you talk to people in the hospitality business, in the entertainment business, the accommodation business, and they will tell you they would rather wait on a group of wild, undisciplined kids and their families than Christians. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I waited through college.
Yeah.
And that is so true. I went to Liberty, and so the city is nicknamed the 100 churches, or nicknamed a bunch of churches.
Yeah.
And the wait staff would fight over who would have to serve the church tables.
Yeah.
Because they were so bad. I mean, you hear the conversation. A waiter hears every single conversation that goes on the table. So they know that there are Christians at the table, and then, you know, I would hear afterwards because they would know I was a Christian. And, mm-hmm. and you know, oh, that table, you know, they left us a track and no tip.
Right.
And that is just looked at as,
yeah.
I mean, they were furious.
And yeah.
Throw it away. Or, you know, a lot of times the Christian tables are the most demanding tables,
right.
too. They
right.
make you run for yeah. every little
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's 100% true. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that we made a decision not to go to restaurants on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to be, you know, I don't. You go in there and you get, you know, a very loud table, and generally it's women who are being.
Say it, brother. Let's all get in trouble here today.
You know, complaining, like you say, sending back the chicken after
yeah.
three pieces.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
It is. It's embarrassing, and you don't. You know, I'm sure you wanted to be anywhere else except where you were. When they came back and told you that, it was like, oh. You know.
Well, fight back, make it a point to be loving, and leave a big old tip.
Always,
yeah. All the yeah. light, and gentle,
and always.
And yeah. and please, yes, go ahead, Richard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we had an issue that my mother-in-law was getting remarried, and we were having a pre-rehearsal dinner at a restaurant, and there was about 40 of us, and we were actually demanding. It was just a lot of people.
Yeah.
However, when we sat down and our food came, and we sat and held hands to pray, and when we put our heads up, and our waitresses, which there was three of them, were standing behind us with their heads bowed.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for us to be done before they would set something down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they got the biggest tip they've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only the four or five of us that were Christians in the thing, all left our individual tips aside from being Christians.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
we
yeah.
walked out, they said, once you do that, it's like, because you stop,
mm-hmm.
and you create reverence.
Yeah.
God,
so, right, right.
Yeah.
That's the way we want it to be. That's the way it should be. That's how we're told we're supposed to be known. So thank you. I really appreciate that. Okay. Well, what I want to do is I want to take this notion of lame love and think about it a little bit, because it is something that some folks in our circles are, may I say, afflicted with. This notion of lame love. I've been to churches where And actually, I mentioned John 13. If you have that, you might want to look there. You don't have to right now. But you know, in John 13, Jesus commands us to love. And some expressions of Christianity substitute the command to love for the gospel. And that's all they know to talk about. You know, maybe you've been to some churches where they basically preach John 3:16 every Sunday and have an altar call at the end of every Sunday. There are also churches that preach that we need to love, 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 love. Peace and love are best friends, you know. And that's all they preach every Sunday. And we're so blessed that we have more, but we need to be, I want us to be a little bit equipped, have a little sense of that there's so much more than that. Yes, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Today's passage at the top of the handout is going to help break this out a little bit, and when we get to John 13, we'll see how it breaks out just a little bit. Peter's writing here. He says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." So, the word love there is not unconditional. What are some of the conditions of the love that is called for even in that passage? What do you see there that puts a frame around love? It's not indiscriminate love. Obedience. It's not there's one of the words right there. Obedience. See that word there?
14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments.
How do you spell obedience? Okay. Okay.
Just do OBED line.
Thank you. Obedience. So love without obedience. You know, we have all these social issues going on. Same-sex marriage and abortion and all these things going on. And we're told by our culture and our society and many of the people that that we bump into that we need to just back it off and have love. And that would be it, an indiscriminate, non-discriminating, unctuous love. I saw a bumper sticker, "Queer kids need love, not therapy." LGBT kids need love, not a cure. Just love. Forget everything else, just love. Now, does that go to pedophiles? Does that go to, murderers? To what extent do we have this indiscriminate love, 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 love? And we see this word obedience. What else do we see in there?
We see obedience
and the truth. So we see truth. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. What else is there?
Pure heart.
Pure heart. Pure heart. A little further down, maybe on the back of your handout. I thought I put the word pure. I thought I had the word fleshed out. But it is what it is in English. It's pure, spotless. So a pure heart. What else?
Sincerity.
My spelling today is really
sincere. Pure heart. Sincerity.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Eunice. You're saving me today. Sincerity, that's right. You can't without sincerity. This all sounds really great. You know, it gets a little old after a while.
Amen.
It got a little old in 1968. Because
Woodstock, though.
Yeah, right. Right. Ask the owners of the farm about that. In 1968, Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, the summer of love turned into the summer of into the fall and the winter and the next year of drugs and murder and rapes and crime. It went from this loving place to the most crime-ridden area of San Francisco in less than a year.
Wow.
Because it gets old.
Amen.
Just trying to get myself to be all loving, to be all this, I get tired of it after a while. You know, sometimes it's just personality. Not everybody's put together to be all. Some of us are a little more aggressive, assertive, combative. It's not... huh? It's our personality, right? It's how we're wired, especially some men, but not all men, not limited to men. Feisty is sometimes a word we use. And if all you're giving me are psychedelic posters, good morning, wishing you peace and love. Peace and love. It's not gonna work for me. It might work for me for a little while, but it's gonna get old really fast. It's not gonna get me through the day.
Amen. You know, Bert, something's really interesting. You just mentioned what happened in the fall and the winter and the next
yeah.
week and all that.
Yeah.
If you look at the church,
yeah.
and a church that has that gospel,
yeah.
what happens in the next fall?
That's right. It just gets uglier and uglier. Yeah, it really does. Thank you. Yes.
All those things have is love that is only like inside of us.
Right, right.
It's not really the love of God.
Thank you.
That's coming out. A lot of times, like if I'm driving or something, a lot of times if I see somebody walking, I might pray for their salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't even know that person.
Right.
Because God will for that person who's living his image.
That's right.
And so when the love is from us, then it's going to look like that.
That's right.
But when the love is from God, it's
Thank you. Look like Thank you. That's exactly right. Thank you. You know, Peter is writing, by the way, any other qualifiers here on love? Did you see anything else?
Earnest.
Earnest and sincere, yes.
What I noticed about that love, too, is that's how we want everybody to love us. It's
okay.
It's not even an outward love. That's, you know?
Yeah.
Be kind to me, love me, all I need is this.
That's right. In fact, I didn't bring the posters that talked about, you know, if you love, and you know, it's kind of like if you set it free, if it's meant to be, it'll return back to you. But if you love, you're putting like chips in the bank, and it'll eventually come. And that's just selfish. There are folks who advertise on the internet for their churches. And, you know, if you come here and you get, you know, we'll get straightened out with the Lord, understand God and the gospel and everything else, and then your problems will become so much smaller. Oh, that's why I want to go to church, so my problems get smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the pitch. And so you're absolutely right. Too often, we like to put a boomerang on it and have it come back and come back to us. That's really our motivation, is what we want. So... Let me have you look at John 13 for a minute, and then we'll wrap it up. And there's a lot of Bible verses and things like that. You can go on the blog and click through and kind of enjoy but we've covered the basics. I want to look at, though. See, Peter wrote this. Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to mention one thing here.
Sure.
You talked about love, and you talked about people who are perishing, and then he ends the statement.
I don't know. It could well be. I know that he's, as you mentioned earlier, that the love is a love that's understood and framed by the Word.
Right.
But it's certainly so for us to give love, just as you were praying, Therese, for the non-believers, and as we started out this ABF talking about apologetics, it's that desire to eventually bring the truth to somebody that really motivates us. Christ loved us, so we love others, but we love others with a gospel-infused kind of love. So you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Just some.
Sure.
You know, we're talking about love. I think one of the greatest verses that I can think of about love is to love indeed.
Mm.
And Jesus loved us indeed, you know, with what he did. And we can say all we want.
Mm-hmm.
We can say love, and we can talk love in here. But if it doesn't come out in deed, like she prayed for people, or,
right.
You know, really, if it doesn't come out in deed in our lives,
it's just a theory.
It's just words.
Yes, right, or a theory.
It's not
words.
Yeah. Change anything.
Exactly right.
Yeah, the Father so loved the Lord that He gave.
Yeah. And. And there are, just at the top of your handout, if you want to look where it says love, comma, love, in the verse, love, comma, love. Those are two different words in the Greek. It's the same word in English, two different words in the Greek. The first love is brotherly love. That's one word in the Greek, Philadelphia, literally Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia is brotherly love. the other word is agapeo or agape. And it's really kind of like two levels. Look at what he's saying there. He is saying that we're starting out, we are capable, we are enabled to love earnestly from a pure heart by our obedience to the truth, our acknowledgement of the gospel, our acceptance of Jesus Christ, our reception of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are enabled. There's a forensic enabling that takes place, having purified your soul. That's how our souls are purified, for obedience to the truth. That brings us into brotherhood or sisterhood or brethrenhood of the church. So we start out sort of level one. We're in the church, and we need to act like it. We need to act like we're in the family. That's level, I call it level one. It's really because they kind of go back and forth. Then level two is the next one. I'm looking at the wrong handout. Here we go. Level two is the next one. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. This is a command to us. The agape is a command. And while it was enabled also by obedience to the truth, it's not a forensic kind of love. It's a command. It's like you said, it's a deed. We have to step into it and put it on and wear it and do it. And so it's not automatic. It requires some activity on our part.
Define forensic.
Forensic means legal. It has a legal status. It's the same thing as we say justification. It's a change in legal status. But even that is connected to the word. Now, look at John 13, and I want to try to wrap up so that those who have to leave can do that, but I'm going to do this really quickly. John 13, cutting to the chase, we know the story. Jesus goes to wash Peter's feet. Peter, the author of 1 Peter, okay, the very same, says, "You're going to wash my feet?" He was actually from Jersey City, Palestine. "Hey, you're going to wash my feet? What?" And "You going to wash my feet?" And Jesus said, you don't get it, do you? You don't even get it.
Right.
And he says, "If I don't wash you, you're not in the program." Okay? And what does Peter say? You know, "Give me a shower, man. Get whatever you need, man. I need." And Jesus, again, he says, "You know what? You still don't get it." He says, "There's only one person here," verse 10, "the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." Clean here is the forensic, the justified clean.
Amen.
There's only one person in the room who's not a believer. Okay? We get that. We understand that. But here's the part of this passage that we don't hear very often. Why is Jesus telling the disciples then they have to wash each other's feet? Why is that? If we're talking about sin status, Okay? And there's two levels of sin status. There's the one who is not clean. You don't do any good to wash him because they're just not clean. That's the end of it. They're not a believer. End of that story right now. Okay? But then we have the foot washing going on. So what's the point of that?
I think we just talked that Jesus, with what he did, he showed the disciples how much he loved them. And then he also said in verse 14, now that I've washed your feet, you know, you should wash each other's feet. And I think Peter got it when he wrote 1 Peter, that we're to love in purity of heart.
That's right. That's right. And you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're right. And you're right. And I'm looking for on the.
Wasn't it a matter of position too? That was considered to be a really lowly.
It is. There's exactly.
Jesus wasn't too good to wash.
Exactly. But here's the punchline. Trying to get to the punchline before people leave. The punchline is on the handout on the second page at the very top. And it's these verses, 1 John 2:10, Romans 14, Matthew 18, Galatians 6, and especially Galatians 2:11. These are all verses that call upon us to be a check, to be an accountability for each other.
Amen.
That call, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are commanded to be alert to our brother and sister who is stumbling.
Amen.
And we need to figuratively wash their feet. How do we do that? Well, the foot washing is a wonderful metaphor for what we need to do. We need to very humbly, with a sense of being lower than that person. We see a sin. We see maybe it's a chronic sin. Maybe it's a sin of bondage. And it could be any number of things. But we can see that this person is not having victory over that sin or that habit or whatever it is. And instead of thinking, well, I don't have that problem at least. Thank the Lord for that. We get down on our hands and knees. We lower ourselves. Paul, in Philippians, Paul says, think of others as better than yourselves. We lower ourselves and we humbly take out our cloth and our basin and we say, can I help you get this off of the here, right here and over here? Would you let me just get some, help you with this and get some cleansing going on these feet? You've stepped in some things over here, okay? And let's get you cleaned up. Let me pray with you and let me help you. That's not the sermon that we hear from this passage very often. But that is exactly what we need to take from this, because that's what Peter took from it, which is why Peter brought it to us in 1 Peter 1, at the end of 1 Peter 1. This is what he's bringing to us, that we need to, from a pure heart, since we've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And it takes us right back to our little circle thing. Because we go right back to the gospel. And when we have a brother or a sister who needs a little bit of washing on their feet, we need to get down on the floor and remind them and us that we need to take this thing right back to the cross.
Right.
Any questions, comments? No, what are your questions or comments? So we'll start over here and then go over here. Yes, please.
Just a statement. I'm under pressure. Part of my job is to guide the I know it's a literal concept for
yes.
However, when I started my job, they didn't tell me I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In a year, they said, you need to take on this thing. And I'm like, gosh, it's people's feet. I don't want to touch them. This guy. However, they do it in a year and a half.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's
right.
Yeah. As a Christian, as a provider, whatever it is,
humble yourself to do that. There's those people that never liked me. Mm-hmm. They would, I would give them medication they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm their best friend now.
Yeah.
I take care of what they need.
Right. That's right. That's right.
No,
but it's symbolic. I had the same experience when my daughter is a manicurist, and when I walked in one time and she was on her little stool and doing a pedicure, I had the same. It kind of hit me. It's like, wow, this is something I need to be thinking about because it helps me understand the whole foot washing now concept. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. And his heels are cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And when the nurse came in and put that ointment on his
feet
and cleaned his feet off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another thing too is that apathy is a sin. So if you're being apathetic to say a brother who comes to you and says, well, you know, I don't really need the word anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're not killing people.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just our Christian walk is dependent upon things like reading the Word and praying, and we can't be apathetic. We have to not be afraid to get down on our knees and say, "Brother, let me help you."
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Dave, and then we'll come back here. Yes.
Fear of man is a big issue. We do not want to offend people. We do not want to confront people.
Yeah.
We don't like getting ripped on when we confront people.
Yeah.
We don't like being belittled when we confront people, but we confront people in a spirit of meekness and humility and love because we love them, and we're commanded to do it by God, and we choose
to
obey God rather than man.
Yeah, that's right.
So next time, wash your feet.
Sure.
Yeah. Let me take Claudia, and then I'll come right back, okay? Yes.
I'm just thinking about how you've been mine and how you've been a servant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the opportunity to help somebody with a resume, and then after the resume, I found a position and blah, blah, blah. But the point is, when I met with this guy, this person, this Catholic, he was asking me a question about how do I answer this and how do I answer that, and I said, you need to be focused in service.
Mm-hmm.
As a servant, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like.
That's right. Thank you. That's exactly right. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is all, everything we're meeting here, isn't it talking about how we're supposed to be towards each other? I mean, it's not just, our place in the world is one way, but the main thing I think that we're reading in 1 Peter and we're reading in John is how I'm supposed to treat Dave.
Yeah, Galatians 6, Matthew 18, 1 John.
And something about that is, I think this is talking about how I'm supposed to treat Jim. It's not about how I'm supposed to treat my unsaved neighbor, really.
Right. I mean, Romans 14.
Right.
When we read later down, it says they'll know we are Christians
right.
by our love for each other.
Right, that's right, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, there's nothing, I mean, you think about how many people's feet you've washed in this life, and most of us washed our kids. But Jesus washed, these are grown men. How many people in your life, how many grown men have you washed their feet, you know? If we read that part of Scripture, it says, blessed are you if you do these things. I've left for you an example. And, I read the Bible, and when I do, there's only certain things I can do when I read the Bible. I can do what it says. Or I can tear that page out. Mm. I have no other option. And if you read John 13, that's a... somebody really had to do something to tell me that that's not telling me that I need to wash my brother's feet at some point.
Yeah, and there are...
And not just in a physical way.
Yeah.
It's a physical touch.
Yeah. I think. Yep. And there are expressions of our faith that treat that as a third ordinance, and they because they see it as exactly they says do it says do it.
I don't know how.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Let's close. Father God in heaven, we have so much to learn about loving you. We have so much to learn about loving non-believers around us, and we even have much to learn about loving and being loving. Among ourselves, Lord. And just pray that you bring conviction upon our hearts where we have inadvertently left the wrong impression for in representing Christ. and even more conviction where we have willfully done so. And Lord, forgive us for those things. Let us confess and once again revisit the foot of the cross and rediscover the amazing grace that you have for us. And allow us to do that in a worshipful spirit even as we go to worship now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.